This evening we would like to look at this passage I've been assigned, and we're going to read first of all in Luke chapter 19 and verse 28. Luke 19 and verse 28. When he had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mountain called Olivet, that he said to his two disciples, "Go into the village opposite you, where as you enter you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Loose it and bring it here. And if anyone asks, 'Why are you loosing it?' thus you shall say to him, 'Because the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent went their way and found it just as he had said to them. But as they were loosing the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why are you loosing the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And they brought him to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on the colt, and they set Jesus on them." And then we have the passage in Mark's Gospel, chapter 11 and verse 1. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he said to his two disciples, 'Go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it.' Immediately he will send it here." So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of them who stood there said to them, "What are you doing loosing the colt?" And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded. So they let him go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And then Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, will be our main passage tonight. And we will go verse by verse. "Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them." We will stop there for the moment, but we're reminded of the verse in Luke chapter 13 and verse 33 of why the Lord Jesus said he was going to Jerusalem. Of course, he was going there to go to Calvary, but he made an interesting comment here where he says, "Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem." Here he was affirming that he indeed was a prophet, and Moses prophesied of him in Deuteronomy chapter 18, and the Lord was the great prophet that was promised. And so just like many of the prophets before him that were persecuted or killed in Jerusalem, the Lord said he, as the great prophet, would also be killed in Jerusalem. So it says here that they went to Bethphage as they drew near. And Bethphage and Bethany were not too far apart. Bethphage was almost on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And we know from John chapter 12 that the Lord had spent the day before in Bethany with Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And so he drew near Bethphage. And it's interesting, the name Bethany means house of figs, but the name Bethphage means house of unripened figs. And I just thought of an application here. The truth that, in a sense, the nation of Israel was a nation that was unripened, in the sense that they had the kingdom offered to them, but because of their rejection of the king, first with their leaders and very soon with the whole nation, that they were not ready for the kingdom. They were unripened. And indeed, they would not receive the kingdom at that time. So what do we notice here about the Lord? And these few verses are mainly about the Lord. In the passage you will study next week, it has more to do with the multitude. And so here about the Lord, we see both his omnipotent, his omniscience, as well as his sovereignty over all. When he said to go into the village opposite you, and you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her, he was showing his omniscience. Now, it's possible that he knew this person, and this person may have even been a follower of the Lord Jesus. We don't know. But we see the Lord in his control of the future. He knew what was ahead, and he knew that that colt would be just where he had said it would be. And so we see the omniscience of the Lord Jesus. We're reminded in many places that when the Lord was born into this world, he was still the eternal Son. He did not give up the attributes of deity. So he was still, while he was in a body, he was still the all-present God, the God that was omnipresent. Even though he came and had the limitations of a human body, he still was full of all the knowledge of the Godhead. And so we see here also that the power of the Lord Jesus, he had power over all. He was a sovereign creator over all. And so we see some of the display of the Lord's deity in this passage. We also see here that he says, if what you are to say to them is that the Lord has need of them, and that will be enough. And it's a word of application. Are we ready to give what the Lord has need of? When the Lord speaks to our heart, when it comes to our resources, our time, whatever the Lord asks us to do, when the Lord says, I have need of you to do this, are we willing to immediately obey? And as we see here, his apostles, they were ready to immediately, when the Lord said to do this, he did it. And they obeyed the Lord. And then we see in this man who owned these animals, he was willing to immediately, at the word that the Lord needed them, he was willing to give them to the disciples. Another thing we see here is that even though in Mark and Luke it speaks of just the colt, we see here that there was both a donkey and a colt. Now, the Lord rode on the colt or the baby, but the donkey was there as well. So let's just look now at some of the prophetic fulfillment here in this passage. In Genesis chapter 49, I'll read it. You can turn to it if you wish and hold your place here, but I will read it to you. In the prophetic word of Jacob to his sons, he said this of Judah: the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes, and to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. And so here we see in this passage, it speaks of a donkey, and it speaks of the donkey being bound to the vine. And of course, the vine is a picture of Israel. And we see here the Lord going as the promised king, the Messiah of Israel. And it speaks of the fact that he would suffer. It speaks of him washing his garments in wine. So the binding to the vine has to do with the grapes and enduring the punishment for our sins. And so his clothes were indeed in the blood of grapes. But what's really interesting in a prophetic way and a fulfillment is in the verse 4 and 5. And it says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And so to understand this verse, we need to turn to two passages, because what we have here is a splicing of two verses, and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to show that this was the Lord's first coming, but that it would be a future second coming when it would reach its full fulfillment. And so we need to see here the distinction between his first coming and his second coming. And so we see in Isaiah chapter 62 and verse 11, It says, "Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him." But then in Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9, which verse 5 is speaking of primarily, it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey." So how is this a splicing of two verses? Well, in verse 5, it begins with the phrase, "Tell the daughter of Zion." That's how Isaiah 62:11 begins, where it says, "Say to the daughter of Zion." But the rest of the verse pertains to Zechariah 9 and verse 9, where it talks about him riding on the foal of a donkey. But it says in Matthew's gospel, "Behold, your king is coming to you." Behold, the king is coming to you, which is distinguished from Isaiah chapter 62, where it says salvation is coming. And so why did Matthew primarily speak of this in his first coming? Well, Isaiah 62 has to do when the Lord comes the second time. And this is what Israel could have had if they would have accepted their king. They could have had salvation. They could have had deliverance. But because they rejected the king, it was not salvation that came according to Isaiah 62. But instead, it was the king coming, but the king coming to be rejected. As Zechariah 9 and verse 9 says, he came as the lowly one riding on a donkey, and he came and he was rejected by the people. When the Lord came the first time, he came as a lowly servant. And there's a significance in him riding on a donkey. A donkey is a beast of burden. A donkey is has a picture of servanthood. The Lord will come in the future, not riding on a donkey, but according to Revelation 19 and verse 11, he will come riding on a horse. The horse speaks of war. The horse speaks of one who is coming to conquer. And so when the Lord comes a second time, we see in Revelation 19 and many other passages, Zechariah 14, Psalm chapter 2, we see him coming to put down the armies of the world. He comes as the conquering hero to set up his kingdom. But here he's coming as the lowly servant. And prophetic fulfillment of Zechariah 9 and verse 9. But that one passage in Isaiah 62 speaks of what they could have had, where it speaks of a time of joy and reward. But here it's not a time of joy, but it's a time of judgment of this generation of Israel that rejected their king. So as a way of application, we can point out this in looking at this donkey and the servanthood, that we see in verse 2 that this donkey was tied, but it was loosed. And it's a picture of what the Lord did for us. We were bound as a slave of sin. But when we trusted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we were set free. We were loosed from our sin. We were loosed from the tyranny of sin, from the tyranny of the devil, from the tyranny of the world. We were set free. We were liberated to serve the Lord Jesus. And then we see in this, what the Lord, when the Lord is put on this foal, of the donkey, we see here that it speaks of the fact that there's a strength in service because the Lord is joined to us. And so once we trust the Lord as our Savior, we enter into a life of Christian service. But it's not dependent upon our own strength, but upon the strength of the Lord. We are yoked with him, as we read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And we can learn of him, and his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And so we see the picture of the Lord's strength and him riding on this foal. We also see that the spirit of this foal is broken, because we don't see this mentioned here, but one of the other passages that we read, we see that it was a foal or a colt that had never been ridden before. But yet, if another person would have sat on this foal, it would have bucked the person. But the Lord Jesus had complete control of it. He broke through to the spirit of this donkey, and when he sat on it, it was gentle and it did not resist the Lord. And we see here again the picture of the Lord's sovereignty over his creation. We see a picture of the coming kingdom when the Lord will rule over the whole earth, and man will again have that position of rulership through the Lord Jesus over the whole world, and there will be peace with the animal kingdom. And so the Lord broke its spirit, and indeed, as believers, we had to have our will, and we had to have our spirit broken, and to learn the joy and the blessing of submitting to the will of the Lord, to say, not my will, Lord, but thine be done, to live each day in the power of the Lord, being willing to yield up our spirit to him and say, Lord, what will you have for me today? And to be submissive as this donkey was submissive to the Lord Jesus. And then to obey him in his guidance. And this donkey was guided by the Lord to Jerusalem. And indeed, we have the pleasure of giving our lives to the Lord and submitting to his guidance. His will is a place of blessing in our life. As we submit ourselves to his will, and he will guide us, and he will guide us along the path that he wants for us, which is a place of blessing. It's a place of us walking in the works he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And as we submit ourselves to him, he will delight to guide us. And there's no greater place to be than in the will of the Lord Jesus. And so we see a wonderful picture of this donkey, a picture of Christian service. And so we see here in this passage, the Lord is going to go to Jerusalem and he's going to be rejected. And this is a complete fulfillment of a Daniel chapter 9, where it spoke of the 69 weeks, and then an interval before the 70th week. And so we see here that this is the point when the Messiah would be cut off, and fulfillment of Daniel's 69 weeks. And Sir Robert Anderson, of course, as many of you know, he worked out the math. And from the time that this was set in motion from the first week until the time of the Messiah being cut off, it worked out perfectly as Daniel prophesied. And we don't have time to show this, but if you read Daniel 9 verses 24 to 27, you see the picture of the 70 weeks. And 69 have been fulfilled, and there's still that last week of 7 years to be fulfilled in a future day. But here's the beginning of the Lord's time before Calvary, drawn to a close. This is what often is referred to as what's going to happen as Palm Sunday. And he's on his way to be crucified. I find it really amazing when you think about the omniscience of our Lord. You know, it's a blessing to us. We don't know what's ahead of us in many ways, because if we knew what was ahead of us and we knew it was the Lord's will, we might shrink back from it. We might try to find a way to engineer our words and our actions to avoid what the Lord had for us. But the Lord Jesus, knowing the suffering ahead of him, was still willing to fulfill the Father's will. He knew all things. He knew what was ahead of him exactly, but yet he did not shrink back. You know, if I just can imagine, if we knew what was ahead in the next days, weeks, months, years, we might shrink back. We might try to avoid it, even if it's the Lord's will. But the Lord Jesus, he's our great example of perfectly fulfilling the word of the Lord. Someone has said that if you can see the complete life of the Lord Jesus through the prophets, and we've just mentioned a few of the prophecies tonight, but we can go through the prophets and we can see an encapsulation of what would be brought out in the Lord's life in the Gospels, and indeed even beyond that to that future day when he returns to earth. But what a wonderful thing here, as the Lord is going to ride, and it speaks of the triumphal entry, because at first the common people are excited and they're saying, going to say Hosanna to the, in the highest, but soon they will turn against him. And already the Lord knew he had been rejected by the rulers and the nation of Israel. And so this is just the main themes of this passage, a themes of service, a themes of the attributes of the Lord, and just an exhortation to us to want to submit ourselves completely to him, and what a blessing will come into our life when we do that. Let's just bow in prayer, and when we're done, I will stay on to talk to Ross or whoever else wants to stay on afterwards. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each brother and sister here. We just pray that you would encourage them, that you would keep each one close to you. Father, that we would not deviate from the path that you have ahead of us, that we would know your will in our lives and we would follow it. And even if it's a hard path, Father, that we would not shrink back from it. We thank you, Father, for the example of the disciples, and to quickly heeding to the word of the Lord and going forth and to find this donkey and colt. Father, we thank you for the owner of this donkey and colt being willing to, when he knows the Lord has need of it, to being willing to relinquish it to the Lord. We thank you for the example of the donkey and the example of servanthood, and how the Lord is perfect in his servanthood. And Father, may we try to exemplify that by being good servants, excellent servants of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we also thank you, Father, for the prophetic fulfillments, as well as the future fulfillment of the prophecies of the Lord Jesus. We know that there's two comings. His first coming, he was rejected and he was a suffering servant. But we know he's coming not in a future day to ride on a donkey, but he's coming to ride on a conquering, as a conqueror on a horse, Father, to set up his kingdom. And he will initiate his 1,000-year kingdom in that day. And so we just thank you for that we can trust the word of the Lord. And as the Lord speaks to us, we just believe it and to obey it and to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And we thank you, Father, that your word is truth and we can have complete confidence in it. And just as the Lord came the first time in answer to these prophecies, he will come a second time, Father, to this earth. But before that, Father, we look to another promise, the promise of him returning in the air for us, Father. And as these dark days continue to descend upon us, Father, great wickedness in the world, great wickedness in rulers and governments, Father, we just thank you, Father, that we have a sure hope. And we know, the Father, that trump shall sound any day now, Father, and we can look for that with great joy in spite of the circumstances we find ourselves in. And so we just pray, Father, that you would encourage Bridlewood, that you encourage the leadership there, give them the wisdom as they make difficult decisions in the future, Father. Encourage them in their service. Encourage each one in their service, Father, the Awana leaders online, those that are ministering to children, and those that are engaging in various Bible studies. We just pray that you would help them, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.